Not super exciting, but
wow,
he has taken that opportunity and made the most of it. No question about that. He looked like a seasoned veteran out there last night for the Jaguars.
It's pretty incredible, man. Pretty incredible.
It is incredible. Mr. Ravis, how are you on this Friday?
I am doing very well, and it seems like Mike Leach can find NFL quarterbacks just about anywhere.
He knows what he's looking at. Six different fantasy leagues, actually seven. Seven different fantasy leagues. And one player involved in last night's game.
Was it DJ Chark?
Nope, Titans defense.
Oof. Oof.
That wasn't mine. I'm drafting any Titans.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I actually went against the Titans defense as well. I was feeling decent about that.
Yeah, you went against the Jaguars defense, and you're coming from behind this week for sure.
Yeah, that was
a bunch of points.
That Titans offense looked bad.
Titans offense is in perpetuity bad. The only time they've looked good this year is against Cleveland. And not really good. Just quarterback play has plagued them. Marcus Mariota statistically looked okay last night, but when it came down to moving the ball in clutch situations, red zone, close to the red zone, couldn't get it done. Couldn't get it done. Enough about that. I'll tell you what, I watched a little bit of the game last night, but I had a blast. Jack and I, my son, went to Remington Park and hung out. Matt Vance showed us a great time. Got to watch one of the turf races from down on the track last night. And so I know we're getting ready to do some stuff with Remington Park here on the station. And take advantage of that, man. Get out. There's some really good racing going on right there. Got a Hall of Fame Kentucky Derby winning jockey at the track now. And great trainers. A lot of good races last night. Ran into my guy Toby Keith. Got to talk to him a little bit. So super time had at Remington Park. Want to give them a shout out for that. Here's what we got in the show today. We may be joined by Dusty at some point in time. He is off doing his ESPN work, getting ready for Florida State and Louisville. I've got some topics that I wanted to discuss. Penalties. As if watching Tennessee and Jacksonville isn't tough enough, when 15 penalties are called, perhaps the greatest player in NFL history has to spring into action. And that's what happened last night. Matt Ravis, do you find it ironic? Or do you find it, is there an element of truth to the fact that 15 penalties were called in the first half? Tom Brady turns it off, announces to the world, I'm not watching the NFL. And then in the third quarter, we have zero penalties called in the game.
That is funny. That is funny.
Someone called the red phone,
yes,
in the NFL headquarters and said, enough!
This is something I've seen on all levels of football this year, too. Just so many penalties. It's really aggravating.
Okay, here's the number on this. So far in the NFL, we have had 178 holding penalties. The Saints-Rams game had on last week, I believe there were offensive holding penalties called on three consecutive plays. Saints had something like a second and 45. What is always said about the game of football? You can call offensive holding on every play. I don't want ticky-tack offensive holding penalties called. I am sorry to the defensive players out there. But the game is better off not being constantly stopped for penalties. 66% increase in holding penalties from 2018. If there's a guy running towards the quarterback, unobstructed, tackle him. Take your 15 yards. I understand. If you do drag somebody down to the ground, that's holding. That's what the definition of it is. But to look for holding, which you can't call on every play, which we have agreed on that for a long period of time, only slows the game down more. Replay is only slowing the game down more. The NFL is on top of the mountain. I'm going to say something here that I never thought I would say. The NFL can learn from Major League Baseball. You've got to speed the game up. You don't have to slow the game down. And if it makes me feel like we should go back to relying more on human error than the technology that we have available today to get calls right, it's getting bad.
But yeah,
the NFL
absolutely.
This season, Matt, it's we talked about the fact that there are quarterbacks starting in half of the games this weekend that weren't projected to start when we opened camp. And I'm not talking about a guy that lost a position battle. And if that trend continues, it's going to be a really tough year ratings-wise for the NFL.
It absolutely will be. I mean, people tune in to watch football being played. They don't tune in to watch the yellow flag being thrown by the referees. They don't tune in to watch them do their hand signal and announce it to the crowd. That's not why we watch football. But listen to this, Mark. Weeks 1 and 2 of 2018, there are 107 holding calls. So far through 2 weeks in the NFL, like you said, 174. That's crazy. That is nuts.
That is incredible. I don't get how the memo hasn't been received. Why do you want to focus on offensive penalties that much? I don't know that that's bothered anybody. Holding is not called on every play. That's a universal tenet. It's a geometry problem that starts off with a given.
Doesn't it seem like we have one rule every year that's just kind of a sticking point? Where the referees can't figure it out, the players can't figure it out, and it's just one annoying rule. This year it's holding, for sure.
Yep. Yep.
Roughing the passer, that was last year. Which actually, we still see that.
We did. We had a couple of roughing the passer penalties that were somewhat phantom. Yeah. Tonight's a good night of college football. There's a couple of good games. They're West Coast games. And so not quite the passion that we have in the Big Ten or the SEC, but Utah-USC is a good game. Air Force-Boise is another good game. A contrast in styles. Two excellent freshman quarterbacks, one at Boise, one at USC. They're going to be around for a while, so I highly recommend that viewing. Have a list of high school games tonight that I would recommend to you if you're going to get out to see some of the high school players. Putnam City North and Choctaw, both programs resurgent. Putnam North has opened up their new stadium. They've been building to this season, where in the large school division, Putnam City North is in the mix to have the best team in the metro, best team on the west side of the state. Mustang and Westmore play tonight, a couple of undefeated teams. Both of those teams could throw their hat in the ring to be considered the best on the west side of the state, as could Norman. Norman won last night against Moore. Kingfisher and Bethany, another metro game that should be really good. Kingfisher not afraid to schedule tough in their non-district. Already played one half of the Class 4A state championship game a year ago in Tuttle. They get the other half of it tonight in Bethany. That's a big rival. Another game going on with teams that are in the metro area tonight. Washington, great program there. And Washington, they're going to take on Marlow. Washington hammered Purcell last week. Big victory for the Warriors. The Outlaws are undefeated. And so Washington and Marlow, pretty good non-conference game before next weekend. Most of the entire state gets into conference play. Here's a couple games outside the metro that I like. Ada at Duncan. Seminole and Wewoka. Long-standing rivalry. Mike Snyder is going for the all-time wins record in the state of Oklahoma. I think he's about two away, maybe, to tie, three to win. So we'll keep an eye on that. Love Coach Snyder. And Shiloh Christian at Beggs, one of the top private school teams in Arkansas, against the Class 2A runner-up from a year ago. So that's just a little scouting report of what's going on in the high school.
Mark, I'll be calling Bishop McGinnis versus Enid tonight.
Rashawn Woods.
Absolutely. Be cool to see him on the sidelines.
He's coming to Oklahoma City. Well, that was surprised me last week. McGinnis just hammered.
Yes, they
Kelly.
Did. Yes, they did hammer
them. Did you
them.
See the shillelagh?
I did get to touch the shillelagh. I did not get to touch it. Did not touch it.
They should have let the broadcast team take a victory lap with that.
I think so, too. I think so, too. Absolutely. Yeah. By the way, you can hear that on 930 WKY tonight beginning at 7 o'clock.
Nice. I'm going to tune in. I'm going to check it out. McGinnis, heavily favored in tonight's game with Enid. Rashawn doing a good job. Really young team.
Yeah, he's building to something. I mean, he certainly will get there. But like you said, they're kind of in a transitionary period right now.
All right, I don't want to do anything to create animosity between you and I today. But It was a very interesting game. I went to Remington Park last night, as I told you. I wasn't paying attention to the out-by-out happenings of the Cardinals and Cubs game. But my phone did start to blow up at one point of the night. And it was things like, expletive this, oh no. I was monitoring the situation perhaps about every 15 to 30 minutes, knew that the Cardinals had a 4-1 lead going into the ninth inning last night. And yes, they put Carlos Martinez, my nemesis, a player that if he was released today, I would celebrate. Carlos Martinez, the back end of the Cardinals bullpen, makes me feel like they have no chance in the postseason, no matter what else happens. And Carlos Martinez gives up three in the bottom of the ninth, what looks like a very comfortable three-run lead in Wrigley Field. Cardinals are cruising to get their first win of the season, and Carlos gives up three, and we go to extra innings. It's a tie game. And another guy on the Cardinals that has been highly disappointing this year, a Cardinal legend, TCU guy, Matt Carpenter, comes off the bench and does this.
For several years. Ball's hard hit to deep center field. Back goes the center fielder, and it's gone. Home run number 13, big fly, Matt Carpenter. He ambushes Craig Kimbrell, and the Cardinals retake the lead in the 10th inning.
Ricky Horton, Cardinals Television Network, was surprised as anyone. You could hear it in his voice.
I think that I, a Cubs fan, feel about the same way about Craig Kimbrell than you do as Carlos Martinez.
The only excuse you can make for Carlos Martinez is that he is impaired in the brain. Craig Kimbrell has issues injury-wise and a glorious history of closing games for the Red Sox and the Braves with a minuscule ERA. Carlos Martinez just pitches dumb with a live arm. He can do anything out there, but he gets himself in all kinds of trouble. So the Brewers win yesterday. They're three back. The Cubs are now four back. Cubs have a chance at redemption today against Michael Wacha and the Cardinals. The wind is blowing out at Wrigley. What did you think of the moves that the Cubs made yesterday? I mean, Baez, Rizzo, all expected to be out for the rest of the regular season, would be available if the playoffs started. They activate Rizzo. Not only do they activate him at the last minute yesterday, put him in the lineup, he hits a home run. What are they doing? Playing mind games?
I mean, maybe so. At this point, I don't even think Anthony Rizzo can save this Cubs team. Man, you made somebody mad back there, Mark.
So hey, honking at you? It's a daring maneuver if someone tries to break into a car on the showroom floor. That's what we have happening right now.
Well, you can't have that happening, but you know, it was just brutal. It's look, the chances are running out. They do have six more games, right? Six more games against each other before the season's up.
If this car starts to levitate, I'm going to believe that aliens are beaming it up. Okay, we got that.
There we go. We do have stuff going on at Area 51 today. Maybe we could talk about that. We talked a little bit about that yesterday, but no, it's just brutal. They got six more games. The chances are diminishing. Not a 0% chance, but getting lower every day. If they lose today, I mean, I'm calling it a race.
It's not impossible to be tough if they don't win the rest of them. Cardinals get a split. They have to feel pretty good about that in Chicago.
No doubt.
And I do think, though, the Nationals have a really difficult schedule. The Brewers look to me like they're going to get in. They're going to be a wild card team. So I think that it's Cubs in Washington battling for that last playoff spot.
Which we talked all year, man. That Cubs on the road, just not a good deal. I have zero confidence in this team at all. In fact, I texted you late last night, kind of angry.
Yeah,
there may have been an expletive in there.
I understand. I get it. It's a frustrating season. It's been really kind of looking back on it, if the Cardinals do win the division to make the playoffs and end up around 90 wins, that's probably what that would have been best projection possible.
No doubt. Absolutely. Yeah. Great season.
And they were all those three teams were picked right within a game or two of each other. So looks like Cubs are going to get a new manager, David Ross. I could go one way or the other. I think it could go really well. I do worry and am worried and concerned about a guy that would be a player's guy on a team that seems to have an issue with discipline turning the reins over to what I would perceive as a player's guy, because usually you go the opposite way. If Joe Maddon was loose in the clubhouse and the players did what they wanted and not much discipline, then you bring in a guy like Traber's friend, Buck Showalter, that's going to hold people accountable and don't care what kind of superstar status you have. You got to go out there and grind it every day. So I don't know. We'll see how it works. I'm at Escutanda. The number one CRV sales event is going on right now. Best-selling crossover utility vehicle the last 10 years. So come in and check it out for more details. The Civic LX, just $18,995. The Accord LX, $22,500. I've owned a couple of Accords in my life, and they are quality automobiles. So we are between Western and Penn on I-240. Stop in and see us today at Eskridge Honda, where they go the Eskridge Mile. Stay tuned. More of the Monsters coming up next.
The Morning Animals.
Friday, September 13th.
Where he ended up, Tulane, expected to be a big contributor for the Green Wave this season. Todd said they're a sneaky choice to possibly win that conference. American Conference Tulsa's in. I don't know that they're at the level of UCF, but that was a big victory last night for Tulane. Pretty crazy finish, huh, Matt?
Yeah, that might end up being the game of the year in college football. That was nuts, and I love the fake kneel down. Here's what it sounded like.
Oh, it's a trick play! Amari Jones! Trick play! Oh, they fooled him! And he works it out there midfield!
I love everything about that. Coach Fritz is an old school guy, and he absolutely...
Oh my goodness!
Yeah, a little coaching going on in that game between Dana. Houston scored in the first play of the game through like a 75-yard touchdown pass. So at least when you say Houston and Tulane, that doesn't necessarily get your attention. But the tune-in factor of that was pretty high last night, contrary to what the NFL game was.
I saw it, like everybody was tweeting about it on my timeline, man. I saw everybody was watching that game. And I absolutely love that fake kneel down. Instead of playing for overtime, you draw something like that up to try to win the game. It's pretty incredible. I don't think I've ever seen a finish like that before.
So Tulane's only loss this season was to Auburn in a game in which they were pretty competitive. That was one of those lines that looked like it was a little bit off from where you would expect. Auburn had just come off against Oregon, and it just like ended up at right on the number.
So if you're a Sooner fan worried about strength of schedule and all that, and how your win over Houston
looks, I saw some of those
looks,
tweets.
I mean, Tulane, you're saying is better than you would expect them to be.
Yes.
So maybe that loss for Houston, not quite as bad as Sooner fans.
No, it's not. Look, whether Oklahoma goes to the college football playoff has 0% to do with what Houston does this year. Or UCLA. Those games were scheduled a long time ago. Houston is a very good Group of Five team. UCLA is a good name in the Power Five. If Oklahoma wins most all of its games, last year they got in the playoff with a loss. The Oklahoma brand, the Lincoln Riley offense, is a trump card to the strength of schedule. Now, if OU had South Dakota, Akron, and, yeah, I don't know, give me a Sun Belt team, Arkansas State, no disrespect to the Red Wolves, who've been very good in that conference, then that is a strength of schedule issue to me.
Rat poison, Mark. That's rat poison. Don't give me that rat poison.
What did Jalen Hurts? Jalen Hurts showed up in the comments of the University of Oklahoma's Twitter account or Instagram account today?
Yeah, an Instagram account, and they were touting the Sooners. I mean, that's kind of what the purpose of social media is, right?
Look, they got to hype him for the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah, free advertising. I mean, you want to do that for your guys, and people like that. Players will usually share it. Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray were all about that stuff. They love that stuff on social media. So they post a photo on Instagram about how Oklahoma is the nation's top offense. Jalen Hurts' response, rat poison. He is so Nick Saban, it's not even funny.
I thought when I saw that, they should put this guy on defense. I mean, he should play two ways. You want to seal the Heisman Trophy for Jalen Hurts, put it out there on third down and let him go rush the quarterback. The guy's 6'3", 245 pounds.
I don't actually think that that's a crazy idea.
I'm not being serious. But it would garner a lot of attention. It also might trick up or cheapen what he does on offense, because his numbers so far are good enough to be in the Heisman Trophy race legitimately. Like I was looking, Chuba Hubbard leads the nation in rushing, and he leads the nation in touchdown scored. But Jalen Hurts is in the top 10 of rushing, much less throwing the football.
Did you hear his interaction with Barry Trammell the other day?
No, I did not. Was it good?
So Barry is trying to get him to loosen up a little bit. Trying to be not so serious all the time. And so he's asking him, you know, can you be top 10 in rushing and passing? And he gives him no answer. So he goes, top 5? And Jalen Hurts just says, next question. He gave him the Russell Westbrook.
I think that you don't ever, when you're in pursuit of excellence, like the Oklahoma football team is, they need to get past the level and where they've been the last couple of years. When you let up and you have a victory lap moment, it can be very detrimental to the team. So I think some of this is theatrics, but I appreciate the theatrics.
Well, yeah, it's the message that matters, right? And again, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield were great athletes, great competitors, but they ate that stuff up, did they not? I mean, they were humble in their own ways, but they you know, they knew all that stuff.
I don't think I can ever use the word humble to describe Baker, but it shows you that you can chop a tree down with an axe or a chainsaw. Either way, you know, you can do it the way that Jalen Hurts is doing it right now. You can do it the way that Baker Mayfield did, which is a lot more brash and arrogant. I mean, the talent is what trumps and what matters most, but I like the way that Jalen Hurts is approaching this.
Oh, I do too. It's really very workmanlike. I think a lot of Oklahoma fans are appreciating that too.
Did you see what happened in Tennessee last week? Now, you may have said that this week Tennessee's offense caught on fire or burned up or was a grease fire on the field. But last week, I thought this was a joke when I first saw this. But the Titans' field caught on fire.
I did see that. That's a very apt metaphor.
It was a pyrotechnics display gone wrong. So the NFL has now reacted. In addition to wanting more offensive holding penalties, they have said that all flame effects and pyrotechnics used on playing fields is temporarily banned.
That's no fun. Just because you have one bad incident?
I don't know what pyrotechnics do for me. They're kind of cool in the Thunder game, like the thing that looks like it's got lightning coming off of it. You know what I'm talking about in the arena?
Yes, I do.
That's cool.
That is
I like
cool.
Simulated lightning. That'd be great. Fireworks? Huge diminishing return. When I was 8 years old, fireworks were one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life. Now at 49, fireworks don't have the same
effect. Not so much. Yeah,
not as much.
I got you there.
But hey, look, there's younger fans in the stands and people sometimes. Like, nothing in our culture, I think, is exciting to some as blowing stuff up. I'm not that guy, but I know people that are that guy. And they probably think I'm talking about them specifically, but no, there's more than one or two of them that I know. So people like blowing stuff up.
So is this like a ban just so they can get some standards in place? Because it sounds like it wasn't like human error or anything. It sounds like it was like a mechanical sort of thing.
I have no idea, but I do have a good story that relates to this.
Okay.
So in 94, I've told you that I worked for the World Cup. And one of the jobs that I had at the World Cup, my brother was working at the World Cup at the time, too. And so we were setting up inside the Cotton Bowl. I know more about the Cotton Bowl than we could ever even share or imagine that I would have. I know what goes on. I know the locker rooms. I know what they mean. I know where the FIFA had set up the margarita machine in the tunnel. And I can tell you anything you want to know about the Cotton Bowl. So we have to carry all these sandbags, heavy sandbags, from one end of the stadium, like in where the ramp is, to the other end of the stadium, the other end of the field. And it's pretty laborious. I mean, there's no way to do it but walking with these sandbags. And so there's maintenance workers in the field that has one of these golf carts that has a flatbed on the back. And I'm thinking, I don't have a college degree yet, but I know if we put these sandbags on this flatbed golf cart and we don't have to carry them, that's going to be a lot better deal, much easier task than walking 100 yards with the sandbags.
Yeah.
So we load the flatbed golf cart up with the sandbags, take it down the field. Everything's going well. Until the flatbed golf cart decides it's going to catch on fire. It was overloaded. Too many sandbags, not enough horsepower. The pitch at the time, not the Cotton Bowl field, the pitch, it's getting ready for soccer in the summer, is pristine. I mean, they're out there cutting it with scissors, the grass. And all of a sudden, two hourly workers have caught on fire a golf cart with sandbags that leaves a huge, huge black spot on the turf right near the, guess that would be in the Cotton Bowl, which end zone it would be, the Texas side. Let's tell you that. Luckily, we were not shot. And we did get to keep the jobs for the rest of the summer.
But you know,
it's not the first time I've seen a field on fire.
Number one, it's ironic that they were sandbags. Sandbagging with the sandbags. Number two, you know how corrupt FIFA can be. I'm surprised that you guys weren't like, you know.
No, we could have been killed.
You were harmed, yeah.
I don't think that those FIFA people, they weren't in town. It was before the matches had started.
So you guys got out of Dodge.
And listen, there was plenty of corruption in that 1994 World Cup, I can promise you.
Yeah, no doubt. There's no doubt about that.
So, moral of the story is don't load up a bunch of sandbags on a golf cart that's just intended for casual use. I'm at Eskridge Honda today. Go the Eskridge Mile right here. Go to KOCO.com if you're not aware of the great thing that they do with the free ride scholarship. The 2019 Honda Civic LX, they're giving away that and a $25,000 college scholarship to a deserving high school senior who sends in an application. I think you even have a chance to vote on that. So, oldest Oklahoma City Honda dealer, proudly serving the state of Oklahoma. Great customer service. Ton of people in here today with the service department. And so, I highly recommend the number one CRV sales event going on right now. 2019 CRV EX for $189 a month. Get in here and see us today off of Interstate 240. When we come back, I want to kind of get on a bandwagon that the Ultimate has started with ESPN Plus and how it could very drastically affect the way that you watch college sports as soon as next weekend. So stay tuned to the Monsters of the Midday here on a Friday.
All first-time callers to WWLS, the sports app.
Don?
Hey, guys.
Great.
Great. What's on your mind, man? All right, then.
What happened?
Maybe call back, Don. I don't know if that was a connection issue or
no,
states'
rights
or...
He took a deep breath as if he was about to say something, and then no words came out.
No doubt.
As I said, it can it being quiet in real life, there's a great use for that. But when it comes to a radio talk show, there's a reason why it's called a radio talk show. You've got to talk. We can't see your face or judge by your reactions.
We've got two more if you want to take them. I do not think this is going to be the same case. I may be wrong. Do not think it'll be the same case. We've got Michael at first here.
Michael, what's up?
Hey, I got a quick fantasy question.
All right. Go ahead.
I got Stephon Diggs, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Josh Gordon in my starting lineup. But I got Randall Cobb on the bench who's playing Miami this weekend, and I don't know which receiver to bench.
So go through those again one more time.
I said I've got Stephon Diggs, Juju Smith-Schuster, and Josh Gordon in my starting lineup. And I've got Randall Cobb on the bench that I want to play because my boys are playing Miami
this
weekend.
The Dolphins, yeah. I would keep those three. I wouldn't slot Randall Cobb in there.
You wouldn't?
No.
I might start Randall Cobb, but you don't sit number one guys, and Stephon Diggs is the number one guy.
Yeah, no, start your studs
there too. It's 1 and 1A.
Okay, and then also I've got right now I've got Lamar Jackson and I've got Buffalo's quarterback, Josh Allen, in my lineup also, but I've got Baker on the bench. And I don't know if I should
Baker deserves to be on the bench. It's one of those two guys this week, and it might even be Allen because of the matchup. But you can't go wrong with either one of those guys. Don't stress about that. You got two good quarterbacks. All right?
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thanks, man. Appreciate the phone call. Allen this week is a top five quarterback.
I think I'm with you there. I think you got to roll with Lamar, though, until he shows you any different, right?
Could be either way.
That's what I'm doing. We got DJ on the line if you want to take another one.
Yeah, sure. DJ, what's up?
Hey, how you doing, Mark?
Good.
Hey, I had a couple things I wanted to throw at you and get your thoughts on, and the last one I want to jump off the air and listen to. The first one is, did you guys already put the connection together with Jalen Hurts? I know it was probably lighthearted, and he's kind of, you know, putting on these theatrics like you guys said, but where he's from originally in high school, I believe is Houston, right?
Southeast of Houston, yes.
Which you think that's a coincidence that that is now where Mr. Next Question resides?
Yes, I do. But it's interesting that you drew that parallel. But it's definitely Jalen Hurts' approach to the media is clearly not the same as Russell's. You know?
No, I know. I thought that was
well. In listening to it too, I think it was a little bit more lighthearted. I don't think there was any maliciousness.
Channel View, Texas.
But I do think there's a chance that he could know about that, and he could know Barry Trammell is the guy. I mean, let's remember, that was a national story when that happened.
Yeah, when the playoffs came out, that became national. And, you know, maybe the Rockets are his team, and maybe he liked Russell Westbrook. You know, who knows? But anyways, moving on from that.
I thought about that.
Did you see the news about Israel Antoine?
Yes, I saw that he's going to play. I think that that can be nothing but good for Oklahoma State in this game.
Yeah, because Tulsa really beat them up in the middle of the field, especially running the ball in that second quarter. And I think having a guy that has played, you know, significant snaps previously, as opposed to a lot of their other guys who coming into this year didn't, I think that can only help you in the middle, like you said. So I think that could
I'm incredibly high on him too. Maybe a little bit too high. I just like I said, I'm a little bit biased because I've seen him in high school, and I think he's got a ton of ability, and he did translate that onto the field as a true freshman at Colorado.
Yeah, he did really well. Last thing, if you don't mind, Mark, I know you've stayed pretty well connected in the OK prep scene. If you could talk a little bit about Brennan Presley, and then also what do you guys think about that law that they passed in New York, similar to the California law, but not exactly the same as far as paying student-athletes?
I think that you should be able to use your likeness. Then it becomes a determination of what exactly is the likeness. Like, so here's an example of that. If you are Jalen Hurts, I think you should be able to be compensated if you sign an autograph, if you show up to do a public appearance. I think that it should be limited to a certain amount. I don't think that, say, you've got a rich booster at the University of Texas, that he should be able to pay an athlete $1 million a year to come do something. I also believe that the university owns the uniform. Like, for example, jersey sales. You shouldn't be able to, if somebody buys a Jalen Hurts number one, how is that not a Kyler Murray number one?
Well, so if I understood it correctly, on the New York one, they would take, like, I think it was like 15% of the profits from the athletic and divvy that to all of the athletes in the school equally. That was the New York law that passed.
I may be wrong about this. I think this was just a proposed law. I don't think it's actually passed yet.
Sorry. I apologize.
No, it's all good. I just wanted to clear that up.
Hey, we're headed in that direction, however they decide to do it, and whatever the legislature in that state decides to do. I'm all for it. I think that there should be some limitations on the ridiculous high end of profiteering. And I think that the university should be protected some, too, based on what they sell as university property. The University of Oklahoma football jersey is iconic, and it shouldn't be benefited by one person that's just now at the school, no matter how, you know, again. High school football, Brennan Presley is a small guy, but, man, he is leading a dynamic offense. Bixby is off the charts. And then you've got Gundy at Stillwater, who's leading a prolific offense. I know that those teams met in the playoffs, I believe, last year, and Bixby really got the better end of it. Or is that how that happened? I should know this. But there's a lot of really good teams in 6A Division II this year.
Yeah,
but they're all going to be trying to beat Bixby. I mean, that's
right. And I thought that was interesting how that happened. If you have time, I think you'd be interested in it, Mark, to read what they're doing in Arizona in high school football. It's an open division. At the end of the year, they take the eight top teams, regardless of class, and put them in basically like a state tournament type bracket against each other. I thought it was pretty interesting, a pretty interesting read. There's articles about it. I don't want to plug any other websites or anything like that, but I'm sure you can Google it and find it. It might be a good talking point if you guys get to it.
Okay. Sounds good, man.
But
all right, I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark. Have a good one.
Okay. Yeah, Bixby, Stillwater beat Bixby 34-13 in last year's final. I don't know, man. I kind of like the open, hey, you know, based on maybe a committee or something like that could determine what eight teams went in and you could either go or not. That adds a little element to it. But – look, the large school teams in Oklahoma, the ones that have been winning the championship, this year, right now, Owosso, to me, is the number one team in the state. It'd be fun to see them play like a Carl Albert or a team like that, a Stillwater or Bixby. I don't know. That's not a bad idea. I hadn't thought about it. Okay, I want to get to this ESPN Plus deal. Let me see if I can do this here pretty quickly. So there's Jim talked about ESPN Plus. Oklahoma State, Kansas State, a week from Saturday, is an ESPN Plus game. That means you have to buy it streaming. If you are a subscriber to ESPN Plus, you get all kinds of stuff. You get the MMA. You get the ESPN Plus games. But games are going away from ESPN and television. And you think, well, hey, that's not a big deal. It really doesn't concern me. When Oklahoma State, McNeese State was on ESPN Plus, I don't think anybody cared. But if undefeated Oklahoma State faces undefeated Kansas State next week, you're like, no big deal. I don't have that game at home on my TV. I'll go to a bar and watch it. No, you won't. You're going to have to find some place that is able to stream that on televisions, and there are regulations that work. I talked to a couple of bar owners today and said, hey, are you going to have Oklahoma State, Kansas State next week? And it's like, we're working on it. Not sure yet how we get that done. And it's kind of crazy the way that college sports is changing. ESPN is going to force you to buy that streaming service. And then it's going to be up to you to figure out how you get, what platform you're going to use to get it on your TV if you don't want to watch it on your phone or your computer. Now, I'm an old guy talking about this, so there's a lot of young guys out there going, yeah, well, it's easy and it's simple and this is all you have to do. I understand. But that's not necessarily the way that a lot of people right now that consume college sports are consuming it. Hey, I want to turn on my TV and watch it in my chair. Oh, wait, I can't do that. Well, I'll just go down the street and watch it at a bar or a pub. What do you mean I can't do that? And nobody's going to know about it until you get yourself in that situation and go, I'm planning to watch the Oklahoma State, Kansas State football game tonight, and I can't do it. One thing I follow up on Jim's take on this was is that Oklahoma State, they kind of need to stand up for themselves in this situation when it comes to ESPN Plus games, as if the league was pushing around Oklahoma State. Kansas basketball has the same number of ESPN Plus games as Oklahoma State basketball this year. 10. 10 KU basketball games are going to be on ESPN Plus. Kansas at Iowa State, one of the great games of the college basketball season, Big 12 for sure, ESPN Plus. Not going to be able to watch that game unless you subscribe to ESPN Plus. $4.99 a month is not much of a barrier to that, but it's definitely different than the way that we've always consumed it. Big 12 basketball games, pretty much every one of them were on television. Not now. Looks like to me very few of them are going to be on television. A lot of those are going to be on that streaming service. So if you want to watch television college basketball, if you want to watch some matchups in the Big 12, I don't know. I hate this for ESPN. It's one way to sell subscriptions, but at the end of the day, I think it's going to be, a lot of people are going to be upset that it's changed, and not upset just because it costs $14.99, but upset because it changes how your traditional cable subscription works, who your provider is. I think it's a big deal that we didn't see coming, and a lot of the people that I've spoken to didn't see it coming either. There was not a whole lot of publicity about this. The preseason is these games you may not be able to watch on ESPN if you don't have ESPN Plus. So we can talk a little bit more about that when we come back next hour. I believe Dusty's going to join us. I know Jake Trotter has to make his picks. So we've got a lot going on here on the Monsters of the Midday on a Friday. Stay tuned.
Complete coverage of Oklahoma State versus Texas live.
Something was coming out over the airwaves. Let's welcome in Dusty Dvorak from Tallahassee. Tell me about Tallahassee, Dusty. Is it better than I said?
I don't know. I got in late last night, probably after midnight, so I didn't see much of Tallahassee. We were staying at the lovely Holiday Inn Express off I-10. I can tell you, good-sized room, so that's nice. I went to Doak Campbell Stadium this morning, had a chance to chat with coaching staff and see some players. I'm heading back for walkthrough. So I don't have a lot of good or negative to say, kind of inconclusive. Stadium was big, looked nice.
It's a big stadium.
I could tell you.
It's nice.
So, were you covering the Sooners whenever? Were you covering the Sooners whenever it was bad times, the John Blake era? Or were you just kind of a fan? I can't remember. Where were you at in your media career?
Well, it was at the very beginning of the media career. So the answer was yes. I was credentialed to cover OU in 90s. In all three of the John Blake years, and did cover the team in a limited capacity in Howard's year.
So I don't know what it was like to cover a, you know, prestigious program on a big downturn, but you do. Not that I haven't been around the last 4 years, you know, teams and schools, coaches that were struggling. But the feeling around this coaching staff, Mark, is, man, it's odd. I mean, I get it. They're 1-2, and a lot of things aren't going right now, but just the attitude, the demeanor, the feeling, it's not a good one, my friend. It's not a good one. And I was thinking today when I was walking out, and I was, you know, heading back over here to the hotel to hop on radio, I was thinking, man, I wonder if that's what it was like around Norman during those times. Because clearly, you know, this fan base is irate. I figured that out last night sitting next to the guy on the airplane, a diehard Florida State fan, and he was giving me an earful. You know, we talked about, you know, there's reports out that the four-year-old kid has started a lemonade sale so that he can chip in the $17 million buyout of Willie Taggart. And, you know, I kind of felt bad for Willie Taggart, but this is the job he signed up for. But these guys are still people. But, I mean, I hate to say it, but there's such a lot of season left, and they say that, but they just seem so beaten right now, Mark. It was very odd. I hope
I'll tell you what it is like. I can give you some examples.
Coaching staff.
I'll give you some examples of what it's like. It's almost like politics is today, is that you've got people united on both sides that are looking for anything and everything to use against the other person, whether it be right or wrong. And so it's highly volatile. There's a ton of stuff going on. Like with the John Blake era, you have a post-game call-in show with assistant coach where he's challenging somebody to come to the restaurant to fight him. It's that kind of deal. So that's, you know, that all happened here with us on this station. And it's, and then some of the things that happen that when it's out of control and it's gone wrong, it's just hard to explain that you say, you know, I don't know. I mean, Pat tells a story that he was at an NFL training camp, and he was talking to another coach, and John Blake walked in. And he's kind of looking disheveled and just, you know, wasn't at his best appearance-wise. And Pat said, what if I told you that guy was coached at the same position as Bud Wilkinson and Barry Switzer? I mean, it's that it just wasn't a fit. You know, things just didn't – there were things that were being done at the time that you look at and you go, this is – absurd at the University of Oklahoma. Oh,
I mean, for instance, Mark, you know, Willie Taggart wasn't able to bring in his whole staff. Okay, so he can only bring in a few pieces, like Harlan Barnett, the defensive coordinator. He was a holdover. Well, the defense isn't playing right, and I guess they wanted him to transition to a 3-4. So after the second week, they bring in Jim Leavitt, right? Who was Willie's defensive coordinator at Oregon? Like, think about that. And I mean, Harlan Barnett, you know, he's saying the right things. He's saying he's helping. He's saying he's good. But, I mean, you tell me what that does to the dynamic of your defensive coaching staff. He brings in Kendall Briles to run his offense. And Coach Taggart himself tells us that, you know, this week he's now got a much bigger hand in the offense. He's like, well, now Kendall's going to call the plays, but I'm going to have way more input. You know what I'm saying? It's like it seems like there's just a lot that's out of whack. And here's the crazy part, Mark. They got a lot of talent. Like, they got dudes, man. Like their offensive line is still struggling. But they got running backs. They got receivers. They got defensive linemen that Oklahoma would kill for, Mark. I mean, I don't know. It's a very interesting dynamic. And, you know, part of me hopes that they can get it turned around because they seem like nice guys. I just don't know exactly if that's going to be the case, but.
Well, I think that's the way that it was.
To watch tomorrow.
That's the way that it was in Oklahoma at the time with John Blake. I think sometimes he's given too much credit in a sense that how well that he recruited, because I don't care how well that he recruited. If Bob Stoops doesn't arrive in 1999, there's no scenario in which Oklahoma would have been even competitive for a national championship without the elite level of coaching that was done by that staff, which has gone on to do great things over the entire rest of college football. So, look, give me a coaching staff that is as smart and works as hard as the Bob Stoops 1999 coaching staff, and I'll tell you, they'll find a way to recruit national championship team. But listen to this, Dusty. So in 1996, which is John Blake's first year at OU, They got beat 20-7 by TCU. They got beat 51-31 by San Diego State. They got beat by Tulsa when the Tulsa scored the 99-yard pass play to Wes Caswell. The next week they go to Kansas, they give up a 99-yard run play. They get beat 52-24. And I'm thinking OU's going to be 0-12. There is no way this team's going to win a football game. And then what do? The next week they go beat Texas in the Cotton Bowl, and it was a ranked Texas team in overtime. It was a really, really great kind of thrilling victory for that team. But that shows you that teams that do have some talent can rise up and play and win a game when things are kind of going in a negative manner. But there's no consistency, and you never know what's going to happen from week to week.
And this isn't, and I mentioned this to you the other day after talking to Scott Satterfield. I'm not saying he's Bob Stoops. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say is that I mean, the Nebraska comes into town. Those great, they had the misfortune of Oklahoma being down in 95 Nebraska, or 96 Nebraska beat OU 73-21. And then the next year I went to the game in Lincoln, which is the famous game which Buster Coon started at running back for Oklahoma. And it was the Nebraska coaches were coming out of the press box at halftime. Because the game was over. And it was the biggest lopsided loss I've ever seen University of Oklahoma team, 69-7, and it wasn't that close.
I don't know if I want to be in the stadium tomorrow if Florida State loses this game, Mark. I'm telling you.
That's bad.
It's going to be a bad scene. So anyway, it's been interesting here.
Well, it's tough because, like you said, you've got people. I think you've got definitely people on the coaching staff at odds with each other. And think about all of the coaches' families and stuff like that. That's not if you're against each other and then everybody else is against you from the outside. It's hard to put together a winning game plan.
And it's hard to be a unified front. You know what I mean? And then then you worry about. And I think cohesion amongst coaches is so important. And what's the message going down to the team? You know what I'm saying? Like, are there different messages from each room? And I don't know that. I'm just saying that's kind of what could be happening, and if that's happening, it's never a good thing. And on the other side, you've got Scott Satterfield, who I mentioned, they've run off 21 guys. It just
seems like such a different dynamic on the other side. So I think it's going to be very interesting.
Got a little breaking NFL injury news. Damian Williams will not play for the Chiefs on Sunday. So it looks like LeSean McCoy has become a must-roster, must-start guy in probably every league.
Hey, I don't want to say I called it, but I said the Minshew mustache was getting a win last night. He's an impressive cat, Mark. And I know they paid all that money to Nick Foles, and I'm not here to try to tell you that he's going to be the definite starter, but man, I can't think of a guy who stepped in a spot like this, third series of week one, and has performed at the level Gardner Minshew has. He was impressive last night, Marcus. Man, was he impressive.
He was really good. I thought he was really good. I think it's amazing what he's done. He threw the ball very well last night.
Did you see his dad in the stands?
No, I did not see his dad in the stands. He has the same
mustache.
He's
got some pipes on him, dude. Bunned up. He's kind of got a little Baker Mayfield in him, doesn't he?
Can you guess what his dad's name is? Do you know what his dad's name is?
Gardner?
No.
I thought it said Minshew the second on his jersey.
Oh, it does, but that is not his name.
Is it like Flinch or something? Or
Flint.
No?
It's Flint Minshew.
Yeah, Flint. Flint.
Why does it say Minshew the second on the back of his jersey?
That is a great question.
Maybe it's Flint Gardner, and he just goes by Gardner. Maybe he's very good with the flowers, Marcus.
That's interesting. I don't know. What did you think of Tom Brady's tweet last night?
I like it, man. I don't know. I didn't have a problem with it. I'm sure the NFL didn't like it, but I'm okay with it. I mean, if Tom Brady is complaining about too many penalties and not protecting the quarterbacks, then, hey, I'm all in, man. I agree with him. Flags have gotten out of control in the NFL. I'm a defensive lineman, and I can appreciate them wanting to call some holding penalties, but one of those holding penalties last night was straight garbage. Like, at some point, let these dudes play football. It's too much for me, Mark.
It's way too much. They're up. Holding penalties are up 66% from a year ago. How is that good for anyone?
Because it's an offensive league. They want to keep them on the field, man. It's stupid.
I mean, I like I said, holding can be called on every play. I know you're a defensive lineman. I'm sure you hated being held, but I don't want to call holding on every play.
Oh, it's okay. Sorry. Yeah, I meant defensive holding is up too. But, yeah, offensive holding, don't call it every play, please. You don't need to help out the offense. You don't need to help out anybody. If it's holding, they get them out wide. If you can clearly tell there's a grab, if it's egregious, then call it. Because the reality is this. You could call holding every single play if you wanted to. Every single play. So, to me, you only flag it when it's egregious. Offensive linemen are taught to hold, plain and simple. They're just taught to hold within the framework of a chest.
And to me, that's not holding. If you get outside, if you grab someone's jersey, if the defender tries to separate and there's a distinct pull,
then yeah, you got to call it. But I don't know.
All right, let's take a break. I am here today at Eskridge Honda. We are on Interstate 240. A big sales event is going on right now. They go the Eskridge Mile here. I highly recommend coming by and see us. CRV EX, $189 a month. 2019 Honda Civic LX is $18,995. The Accord, $22,500. Accords come standard with Honda Sensing, their exclusive intelligence suite of safety and driver assistance technology designed to alert you to things you might miss while driving, so you can use all of the help out there you can get. The Monsters return. Jake Trotter doing his picks next. Stay tuned.
The Morning Animals.
But you did see Dylan Fa'amatu.
Eskridge Mile here on Interstate 240. Jake Trotter getting ready for a big game this weekend. Sunday Night Football. The Rams. The Browns. That's an interesting game to me. But it is also time that Jake Trotter makes his picks. Jake, I bow down to you. Congratulations on getting the better of me in our head-to-head picks last week. So, kind of curious to see if we agree on anything this week.
I'm curious as well, but before we begin, can Matt Ravis please read the standing so I know where I stand?
Yes, I will. Give me 1 second, though.
Okay. Mark, who's your lock of the week this week?
You'll stand where you're told to stand.
Is Ole Mississippi. Ole Miss. The Rebels.
Interesting. I didn't expect that. Okay. Dusty, what do you got?
I've got Texas Christian University. Give me Gary Patterson and the Iron Skillet showdown.
Okay.
All right, I got your standings here. Jake, you 2-1 in your locks, 10-5 overall. Last week you went 4-1. This is
nice
all for Blaine Brown, by the way.
Where does this put me in the standings?
You are in the lead. You're number one in terms of overall. You are tied for the lead with Mark and I in your locks, 2-1. So there you go. You are the outright leader right now.
Does Dusty have a winning record, or is he below 500?
Dusty's 9-6-1.
Okay.
1-2 in his locks.
Just curious. Okay. So guys, I'm ready for my T&W Tire Lock of the Week. I feel a little bit bad about this because I've got the inside track, the inside info. But I just came away from Cleveland's practice today, and their entire secondary is out. Now, a couple of the guys are questionable, but none of them practiced today. Considering that they have struggled a little bit offensively, and they're going to be down potentially 3, 4, 5 defensive starters, I'm actually going to lock up, assuming it's still at 3 and hasn't ballooned since my tweet from earlier today, at 2.5 to 3, I'm going to take the Rams.
When you talked to us yesterday, you made me feel like the Browns had a better chance than I thought previously. I kind of thought that this game was going to be one-sided. And so I'm buying into the run the football mentality and hurry up offense. Kind of, we know we have to do everything possible to get Aaron Donald, the most dominant player in football, off his game, and I kind of like the fact that this is a rallying cry for a team that's 1-1 against a 2-0 team having to go across the country for the second time in 3 weeks, but I guess I got the wrong vibe. You get it at 3. Rams minus 3.
Yeah, I mean, like, all of that stands, Mark. I still stand by all of that, but, like, when your entire secondary is injured and you're starting, outside linebacker, has potentially a torn pack. We'll see what the diagnosis is on Christian Kirksey. So, like, when your entire back end is injured, and you're potentially going to miss at least 3 or 4 of those guys, like against Jared Goff and McVay, I mean, like that is tough.
Yeah, I'm with you. I agree. I understand. I think that's exactly right. I mean, the Chargers were beat up last week in Detroit, and it cost them the game. I mean, they ran out there a guy that couldn't kick field goals because they didn't have Badgley, and they lost for that reason.
I've got a qualm with this. I'm sorry. I kind of feel like this is insider trading. I kind of feel like on some level, you know, this isn't right. Mark, how do you feel about this? I mean, we've seen people go to prison for less than this. You know what I'm saying?
Martha Stewart.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, Martha Stewart didn't even do this much. I mean, this line, once Vegas finds out about this info, it's going to change the line potentially.
Are you the Gordon Gekko of the show, Jake?
I thought about calling in before I tweeted out the information earlier. I was like, I was going to call in and lock it up before the line started to move based on all these injuries.
Do we have a number? What's the number?
Yeah, three. It's three.
It's a three. I think it'll move above three before Sunday. You would have to think.
Well, here's the deal why I think it's a little weird. Is the injury situation, I understand. But the game opened at 2.5. So why wouldn't they have opened it at 3? The general public is going to bet the Rams in this game based on the results of the first 2 weeks. And while it has moved strongly up from like -3, -0.5, -3 even money, -3, -115, it's now -325. So they're reluctant to move it past 3.
Which means they think that Cleveland's got a pretty good chance to win.
That's exactly right.
I mean, like, if it weren't for all the injuries, I probably would have stayed away from this game. And I mean, this is the thing to keep in mind. Cleveland still has Baker Mayfield, Odell Beckham Jr., Nick Chubb. I mean, like, that's good enough to win. Like, if those guys get hot and they finally figure out the offense a little bit, then, you know, that crowd in the night game, they could definitely win. But I just don't know how they're going to be able to stop the Rams, you know, if they're playing, you know, second and third team cornerbacks, which is what it looks like they might have to do. And you know, defensively, they've been okay, but they, you know, it's hard to say that they're dominant just based on the fact that the Jets had nobody in that game other than Le'Veon Bell. So, I mean, I just don't think we know a lot about this team either way, and the fact that they're banged up, I'm going to go with the Rams. As long as it's 3 and under, I'm going to go with the Rams. Anything bigger than that would scare me, but you know, the Rams basically just have to win the game.
Wait till I tweet to Baker Mayfield that you're locking against this
team.
We'll see what kind of one-on-ones you get from here on out, Jake Trotter.
I don't need that in my life.
Do you hear the fear in his voice when I just even mention that? Do you hear that?
It's not fear. It's just it'd be a lot of aggravation that I don't want to deal with.
I don't know if anybody's ever told you, but we do have a few people listening to this.
I did write a story today that's near the top of the NFL page. It says, I think the headline is something to the degree of Cleveland's offensive issues start with Baker Mayfield. So that would be the double whammy.
There's a saying. I don't know. This is a bold strategy to do.
I got to call it like I see it.
You're gonna go from in the beard gang to you're gonna be an outsider real quick. All right, hey, what else you got? OSU in Austin. We had the line at 6. I'm not sure what it currently is. Who you like?
You know, I thought about locking this game too. I like Texas a lot. I mean, I just beat Mark with Oklahoma State last weekend, but I almost wonder, in some ways, if Mark didn't have the right side of it, just the way that game went. I mean, I think Oklahoma State just, you know, Tylan Wallace and Chuba Hubbard and even Sanders, just too much talent in that game. And once they finally got going, but, you know, concerns defensively from that first half. And I just think physically they're about to take a giant step up in competition against Texas based on what they've seen so far. And, you know, it would be a phenomenal win for Oklahoma State. If you look at their schedule after this weekend, I mean, they have a chance to really do some damage if they can get out of Austin. But I think with Ellinger, Texas starting to get a little bit healthy in Austin night game, I think that Texas is going to win, and I think they're going to cover.
6.5, by the way, now.
He gets it at what we got it, though. So.
Oh, right on.
Yeah. Thanks, Matt.
Just to avoid any confusion.
You're in the lead. I'm not going to give you any slack, Trotter.
I'm with you.
Thank you, Matt Ray. Just keep that man straight. By the
way, I've been accused of insider trading. You know, the lines keep moving on me. It's like a moving target. Go ahead, Dustin.
You and Mark are brothers in arms, and Matt Ravis and I are as well. So there's we got 2 and 2 on this one.
You like Oklahoma State to win outright?
No, I don't. Nope. I like them to lose by four.
These games have been close. They've been kind of crazy over the years, but they've traditionally been pretty close.
I think it's going to be tough for Texas defense to stop three of the more explosive players in the league. I think Tyler Wallace is going to make some plays. I think Chuba Hubbard's going to make some plays. And I think Spencer Sanders not going to make enough plays, but he'll make a few. So, like, I picked it like 38-34 last Sunday. So, I stuck with it.
Yeah.
My analysis came down to the quarterback play. I think Texas has got a big advantage.
I did not like the way Sanders threw the deep ball against Tulsa. Like, it just felt like there was something off there. And if they can't stretch Texas's defense down the field with Wallace consistently or the other guys, then I think it's going to be tough sledding in the trenches, no matter how improved that Oklahoma State offensive line is.
All right, what else you got?
Okay, so I think I'm going to go with Oregon 10 or 10 and a half, whatever it is. I just think that what happened to them in the opener against Auburn and then what happened to them against Stanford last year, I just think that they are going to respond with a big game. Can you give me the Tennessee line? Is it 14 or 14 and a half?
It is 14 right now. Let me see if that moved from yesterday, though.
Okay.
Oregon is 10 and a half, by the way.
Okay, that's fine. So I got the Rams, I've got Texas, I've got Oregon. I am going to go with, Tennessee against Florida.
Okay, hold on, I'm confused. Did you pick Oregon?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Tennessee.
It's 14.
I hope I can get it at 14 and a half, but 14.
The Gators are a 14-point favorite. You'll get it at plus 14 for Rocky Top.
The only thing that scares me is they may be much better quarterback than they've been.
You're saying that Frank's out is an upgrade?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
But, you know, Tennessee's been so bad. They've got something to play for here. I mean, they've still got talent on that team. They're just completely, you know, been completely discombobulated with the way that they finished out. But I think that they will hang in there for a little bit in this game, in a rivalry game. It's also the
I'd sure rather take the points and lay the points with them.
Yep. Oh yeah, for sure. You don't want Tennessee as a favorite. Mm-mm. So my last game, I'm looking at a couple of games. I kind of want to, like, these are both sort of anti-Mark Rogers picks, Dusty. Okay. So.
Okay.
The first. You know, Mark loves Kansas. He always is picking Kansas. So I'm leaning a little bit
on the
Kansas overreaction with West Virginia. I have it at minus -4. The other game is kind of turning the tables on Mark and taking Tulsa minus -3.5 against undefeated Wyoming, who beat Missouri, who beat West Virginia. But I wonder if Wyoming is completely overrated.
You're getting into the transitive property there.
Too much. That's...
Go head to head with Mark. Yeah, it was very successful for you last week.
Who does Mark have?
He's got Les Miles winning outright. He took Jayhawks in the points, got him winning outright.
And your travels while you've been busy in Cleveland, you may have forgotten how bad West Virginia has been since they got into the Big 12 against the point spread.
So how well do I know Mark? Where I knew he was going to pick Kansas. I mean, I have no idea what I knew he was going to pick Kansas.
Of course. We have
had a theme to my picks. I dedicated my picks to the United States of America this week. So you do not want to go against me.
We've already established that somehow, some way, though it's Blackwell, Oklahoma, Mark actually is a partial resident of the state of Kansas.
He loves it.
Close enough to Kansas.
He's all in on K-State might be pretty good, actually. That was impressive last week. So, you know, this is what I'm going to do. Mark, I feel like I'm going up against you either way. You want the direct head-to-head, and you want me to take West Virginia, or do you want me to troll you by taking Tulsa a week after I took you down with the...
I went head-to-head, dude. Come on. Let's go. Let's get after it.
You want head-to-head?
Yeah. Let's make it a game.
Okay.
Let's have some fun.
Give me the Mountaineers. Minus -4?
Four and a half.
Austin Kendalls.
Yeah?
4.5.
Okay. 4.5. Okay. We'll do it.
I like it. I like it.
I like it, too. I like it, too.
Hey, by the way, speaking of point spreads, you know, I felt really good about my pick of TCU yesterday because I locked it. And I looked today, and it seems as if somebody is siding with Mark Rogers. That line has dipped 1.5 since we picked yesterday, Mark. TCU now just an 8-point favorite.
I like SMU in that game.
SMU, wow. That while I think they feel really good about how they've played the first 3 weeks of the season, and I think if you look at it, they have played really well the first 3 weeks of the season.
There's
a lot of confidence in this game in the SMU side that they can go win.
You guys know that. I mean, they're about to play the best team they played, though, right? I mean.
Yeah, but I mean, they beat up a pretty decent, at least going into the season, North Texas. I mean, they beat up your buddy Seth Luttrell in that game a couple weeks ago. And
I know they limped out one against Arkansas State in the opener too. So I'm just saying. I mean, TCU's got the best win between those two, and they went up and smacked Purdue around in West Lafayette. So
that was impressive. Now the Skillet has been weird over the years. I mean,
it has been really weird.
You get some weird outcomes.
It's been 69 zip TCU when they've had a chance to beat them bad, they have, and then SMU has won the game as a huge underdog against some of Gary Patterson's better teams. So it's been very.
You guys know who SMU's running back was the last time they were 3-0?
Eric Dickerson.
Yeah, you know, gave me that stat. Former SMU quarterback Garrett Gilbert, who's fired up about the game.
It's a big deal. It's a big game. It really is in Dallas. Yep. It's a big deal.
Yep.
Now, it's two small schools that don't have a lot of enrollment, but it's a big deal to the alumni.
I'm starting to think TCU might be really good.
So hang on a second. Now, just wait a second. I mean, I think you guys are overhyping this thing. I'm sorry. I'm just going to read off the last, seven times they played this game. You ready? Because okay. I think you guys are way overhyping it. Last year, 42-12 with a bad TCU team. Year before that, 56-36. Year before that, 33-3. Year before that, 56-37. Before that, 56-0. Before that, 48-17.
Yeah, but
I mean, I can keep going.
Some of those, you're not, like, those games were kind of close until they weren't in the fourth quarter.
Well, one reason why I like SMU a lot this year is that they are significantly improved at quarterback. And that's a lot for a Sonny Dykes team.
TCU spits up and chews up and spits out Shane Bichelle's for lunch, man. He did it when he was at Texas. He'll do it when he's at SMU.
Should I flip my West Virginia pick to SMU?
Come on, dude. Let's go.
You get some value. You can get it at 9.5.
He gets it the same thing we get it at, I thought.
That's what I'm saying. He gets some value. If he goes to SMU, he's getting a point and a half of value.
Okay. So what is it, 9.5?
Yeah. 9.5.
Who do I want to beat more this week?
You want to go against your boy GP? You go ahead, dude. You go right on ahead, and I'll be happy.
It never goes well for me when I go against GP.
If you two join forces, that'll make me feel better about my pick. By the way, since 2007, SMU's won this game once and would have covered that only time on this number. So go ahead, guys. Feel good about it. You guys talking this up like it's some close, hard-fought rivalry. This has been a beatdown city.
No, it was a weird rivalry. He said it's a weird rivalry.
Yeah.
Bunch of beatdowns. Matt, save that clip for next week, okay?
I will.
Okay.
Can't wait.
Thank you very much. All right, I'm going to stick with West Virginia.
Smart man.
All right.
Anything else?
This weekend? Where are you at this weekend?
I'm in Tallahassee right now, getting ready. I saw Willie Taggart and his staff a little bit ago. Talked to Kendall Briles. We were reminiscing on some old Waco times. Talked a little Stephenville football.
Is there any hope for Florida State? Is there any hope for them?
They got players, so there's always hope when you got players. But I was talking earlier, and I was trying to get a glimpse of what it was like when Mark was covering the OU beat back in the John Blake era. And I'm kind of, without me being around or having an idea what it was really like, I kind of feel like that's the feeling I'm getting here in Tallahassee is probably similar to the way it was in Norman. It's just
so. Here's the deal: if you tweet that I'm picking against Baker in my lock this week, I'm going to call Willie Taggart and say you compared him to John Blake for the game. Deal?
I didn't compare him to John Blake.
Wow, man,
what is happening?
This escalated quickly.
Did you guys see what Steve Spurrier said? About
I'll take
Taggart
the trident.
Yeah, I saw it. That's
pretty good. There it is. Give him an extension.
You know what Willie told us today? Willie says he don't pay attention to the media, so he'd never see that tweet you fire out.
Well, I mean, I don't know what he's paying attention to be honest.
Wow. So now you want to take shots at him too, Big Mister? I've got a article on the front page of
NFL. I'm not taking shots at him. They've been terrible since he got there. I mean, that's a fact.
That is a fact, and they're 6-9 since he's been the head coach.
There's no reason Florida State should be that bad. Just like there was no reason for OU to be as bad as they were, you know, during the John Blake years. When you are, you know, a top 10 program, it's inexcusable to be losing to the teams that they've been losing to.
We're in total agreement, my friend. We are in total agreement.
Cool. Well, have fun. Florida State's a cool place to go watch a game, though.
Yeah, I'm excited about that aspect of it. Jake, this was very fun. Best of luck on your picks, except
thank you.
Obviously
don't need it,
for
you.
Texas.
Yeah, of all the games this weekend, I'm looking forward to that one the most. I think that's going to be a lot of fun. Because those Texas-Oklahoma State games are always, you know, forget the skill at those games are really weird.
Yes, they are. All right, Jake, we'll
have
talk to you
weekend,
again on next week. All right, see ya. Jake Trotter. The Iron Man of the Sports Animal. Mark, where are you at today?
Eskridge Honda. They go the Eskridge Mile here. Coming today to take advantage of the number one CRV sales event going on. Best crossover utility vehicle over the last 10 years. $189 a month. I mean, that is meal money for Jake and Dusty. $189 a month. So come by also the 2019 Honda Civic LX, $18,995, or the Accord LX for $22,500 right here at Eskridge Honda. I-240. Take a break. Come back. Wrap up the Monsters right after this.
Sports Animal Soundbite.
Oklahoma State is a top.
Games going on in the NFL this weekend. I love a lot of the home teams. Home team won last night. I think the Chiefs are going to handle the Ravens pretty significantly. I like Kansas City by 2 touchdowns over Baltimore, who's had a pretty easy schedule so far this season. So that's my Mid-American Christian University educated guess.
2 touchdowns?
14 points.
Wow. That's interesting. Okay, I'm going to say what I said yesterday. Kyler Murray gets his first win as a starter. They will beat Carolina and Arizona on Sunday. Cliff Kingsbury, Kyler Murray will move to 1-1-1. I think much better than most people had anticipated 3 games into the season. My Mid-American Christian University educated guess.
Cam Newton officially ruled out of the game.
Well, good. I feel better about my educated guess. You know what drives me nuts, Mark? Can I rant just a little bit before we depart on this Friday? And you know what? I probably shouldn't. Last week it was Tebow. This week it's something else. It's
what
Friday. Hackers, Mark. To hell with you hackers out there. I hate you all, okay? My credit card is my debit card for my business account. It got hacked into last weekend. Somebody took out money, so there's fraudulent behavior. So I've had to cancel that, which in turn, that card is connected to all these things that I don't even realize. Like Uber, yesterday almost missed my flight because I was waiting on my Uber, only it wasn't coming because my card didn't work. Okay? I don't know what's happened to my Apple ID, but I'm getting I got an email in the last hour that somebody has hacked into my Apple ID. Now, it's been locked. And the same things happen to my Marriott Rewards. Damn it, you hackers. I hate you all. Just leave me alone. You and the aliens. I don't do anything to you. Please don't do anything to me. Like, God, I hate hackers, Mark. We should have some stringent damn laws for people who hack into people's stuff. That's what I'm saying.
You're being invaded on all fronts right now. That's not good to have the Apple ID gone and the credit card breached.
God.
Dusty in Area 51 today.
Is that what you think it is? Do you think that they're after me? And maybe it's the aliens.
They being the aliens or the government?
God, who only knows? Maybe it's one and the same. Jesus. Anyway, that's all, man. I got a rash. I'm over it. I got football. We got a big game. I'm pretty fired up about Friday Night Football tonight. One of my picks is on the line. We got a big Pac-12 South matchup. Utah goes down, Marcus. Their college football playoff dreams and aspirations come to a screeching halt. That's a hell of a primer for the best Saturday of college football we've had to this point. And by the way, how about my man Adam Amin on the call last night? Tell me y'all played that call of our man Jay McCleskey.
Oh, yes, we did.
Oh, that was just incredible.
As well as the fake kneel down.
Oh, yeah, the Bumblerooski. When was the last time we saw that? Not just used, but used effectively. That I did not see the game. I was in the air, and I was trying to keep up with the NFL. I got to be honest, when I was passing through, went through DFW to Tallahassee, that game was on, and it really, Houston was up by like 2 touchdowns. Like, ah, yeah, Houston's going to roll them. Next thing I know, I get to my room last night, and I'm watching SVP, and I'll be darned if it wasn't just a crazy classic ending. So then I'm up on Twitter looking at all the highlights and stuff. That was a wild finish in the Big Easy, Mark.
Tell you what, here's what we should do. I'm going to wish you the best of luck dealing with hackers, because that could be a very formidable Friday afternoon issue for you. I'm going to tell everyone that I have enjoyed being here today at Escritonda, and I highly recommend that you come by and take advantage of the number one CRV sales event going on right now, $189 a month for those. They've got great deals on Civic LXs, Accords, Odyssey Elite, Pilot Elite, and Passport Elite. Former intern Parker Milligan here is a sales rep, so he will hook you up, give you the Monsters discount. It will be a 69-hour break after you hear one more time the play that decided the Houston-Tulane game last night and the sheer joy in the booth with Dusty's partner, Adam Amin. Have a great weekend.
Eight back in coverage for Houston. McMillan launches down the middle for McCluskey, and it's three! Jalen McCluskey! Touchdown! They take the lead with 3 seconds left!
OU Texas fans, the sports animal.